Hello, everyone. This is Alan Bach, and welcome to the Alan Bach Show. I'm the host, and just want to welcome everyone today, and thanks for listening. And also want to remind you guys what the show is about. The show is about being able to talk with people in the film industry or TV industry, actors, writers, producers, and hear their inspiring stories, and hopefully those inspiring stories can help you reach your goals as well. Today I have a very special guest. He's a pretty famous actor. He has done some big things in Hollywood. And his name is Kevin Michael Martin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me, man. How have you been?
Good, good. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're a very busy guy. So I'd like to start off the show with maybe promoting your social media where people could reach out to you or follow you.
Right on. God, I always have to think about this when I'm asked this question. It's Kevin Michael Martin, and on Instagram and Twitter, I want to say it's at Kevin_M_Martin. So complicated, I know.
All right, perfect. So just those two social medias, right?
Yes, I have Facebook, too. If you look me up, it's just Kevin Michael Martin, and you'll find me.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's, you got the page out there. All right, perfect.
Right.
And then I also like to just give like a brief biography about yourself, maybe where you're from originally, maybe something like an interesting fact about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Chicago, and when I was applying for colleges, I applied to 9 schools. And I wanted to go to school for musical theater, and I blew out my vocal cords. And so I had to learn how to do straight acting, just plays, no more singing for me. And out of the 9 schools I applied to, I only got into one. I got denied by 8 of them, Juilliard being one of them, New York University, et cetera. And I went to Illinois State for 2 years. I worked my butt off, and my dad made me a deal that if I made Dean's List, he would fly me anywhere in the country to re-audition for schools. And I just did just that, locked myself in a dorm room for 2 years as an undergrad. And as I was studying theater, I made Dean's List and I auditioned for schools around the country. And then I ended up going to UCLA for my last 2 years. And I've been out in California now pursuing that dream for about 10 years. I turn 30 next week. So I want to say I've been out here for about 10 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, that's actually probably about the right time when most people make a successful career in acting. UCLA, you said, what did you study at UCLA?
I studied theater, and it changed my life. I was not God-given in terms of talent. I needed to go to school for it. I needed to train. I needed to hone the craft. In UCLA for those last 2 years, that was some of the best training I've ever had. That was very invaluable for me. And also studying academically, too. My parents always said they wanted me to have a degree. No matter what I chose to do in life, they wanted me to have a college degree. And so that's what UCLA provided me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, I'm going to Chapman University myself, and going to school and getting a degree, it really polishes, you in everyday life, whether it's communications or in life or, you know, just basically any situation in life. So, yeah, I do agree with that.
Well said.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. So I was going to ask you the interesting fact. I don't know if you named anything yet or have you.
Man, an interesting fact about me. Does it need to pertain to Hollywood?
I mean, like,
it probably
no,
should.
I mean, it could be anything. Maybe interesting talent you have or, like, I had someone online. They were pretty good at dancing and this and that. So something maybe, like, if they met you and they couldn't tell.
I don't know if this is an interesting fact about me, but I like to build my life around stories. I think I'm very lucky that I live with my two younger brothers. They moved out here from Chicago. One wants to be an agent, so he's in training at ICM, and the baby brother just graduated USC for directing. And all three of us live under one roof, you know, just like we did back in Chicago while following our dreams. So that's probably the most interesting and, you know, somewhat intimate romantic aspect of my life is I'm out here with my family. We're all kind of forging ahead together.
Well, that's a lot of creative minds under one roof, you know?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome
it has
because you guys can help each other out.
Right, Right. Hopefully one day, you know, we'll all find a fusion and we'll go forward together. Right now we're all kind of following our own paths, you know, in hopes to join up down the road and make something we can really all care about.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome to hear. I mean, don't you guys have a company together or anything? I thought I remember seeing it.
So we did. We had an independent film company back in Chicago, and a couple of years ago we decided to stop the company. We liquidated all the assets because we decided if we were going to do it again and do it right, we each needed to be at different points in our careers, both, you know, mentally and emotionally. So, yeah, we do not have a company at the moment. But believe me, there's been plenty of weekend evenings discussing what we're all going to team back up for next.
Okay. Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, as long as you come back around and do it, you know.
Right.
So let's talk about your acting career, because you're mostly an actor. Maybe we could start on some of the early films films that you worked on or TV shows, and then maybe we can work up some up to the big one, The Last Ship.
Right.
So maybe we can discuss some of those.
Yeah, I got started in commercials, and I was very lucky. I booked my first commercial out of the gate, and I just started doing commercials. And when you start to build a reputation that you know how to handle yourself on a professional set with all the moving pieces, your agency, whomever you're with, will start to score you auditions for theatrical roles. And I got lucky, and I did a good amount of things when I started. I did a lot of indie films, especially with my brother and I. We had the production company in Chicago. So I got good practice honing my craft in front of the camera doing indie films in Chicago. And then I started to break into the TV scene, and I did, some of my early work was, I did a spot on NCIS, I did a spot on Franklin and Bash for TNT, Perfect Couples on NBC, Desperate Housewives on the last season, and then I tested for a lot of pilots, and some of the, most of the pilots I did never went to series. One of them I did in New Orleans was for USA. And they didn't pick it, but USA decided to turn it into a two-hour TV movie. So that was cool that one of them at least was able to be seen throughout the country.
Mm, yeah, you didn't lose it. That's awesome.
Right, right.
And then you went on to The Last Ship, or what?
Yes, and then I booked The Last Ship, and I hadn't worked for a year. I did a big high profile pilot for Fox from the creator of Scrubs, and everybody told me it was going to go. I was one of the big leads on it, and it tanked. It just tanked. I was devastated. And I got my first offer after that to do a Disney guest spot. I did it because I love Disney as a company, and I just wanted to work and have some fun. So I did the Disney guest spot, and then I didn't work for a year. And the audition came in for The Last Ship, and my agents were like, you know, this is too small of a role. Let's wait for something bigger. And my manager was the one who said, you know, you should do this. Put it on tape. Didn't hear back from 2 weeks. Michael Bay was behind the show. I've always been a fan of Michael Bay, and I got it. And two episodes as a co-star. Now, you know, years later, season 4 just came on the air last summer, and I'm 42 episodes deep as one of the series regulars. I'm one of the leads on the show, and season 5 comes out later this summer, so it'll be 52 episodes on this show. It's pretty crazy.
Wow, that's a huge jump. Yeah, that's awesome. Especially playing the lead, that must have been really exciting, but also you know, maybe you were kind of nervous being on set on the first day. Maybe you could describe that.
Oh, the first dance, that was crazy. So, long story short, it was 0 to 60. When you go to work for Michael Bay, you really got to prepare yourself. Physically, I wasn't quite there. And I swear, it was like a scene out of Entourage. We were a couple hours out in the desert. You know, I had to get there at 5 a.m, and I had this hazmat suit on, with this bulletproof vest and, you know, an assault weapon and an oxygen mask and an oxygen tank. And we get in the transpo van from my trailer, and I'm there with Eric Dane, the star of the show, and Jocko Sims, who is now a very, very dear friend of mine. But back then, I didn't know him. and they take us around the corner of this big prison, and these explosions are going off, and the director's yelling, you know, to make sure the camera's lining up the lens right for the shot. And, you know, Jocko and Eric Dane, they didn't even flinch. They were ready for this. And I just, I looked at everyone around, and I thought, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? And it was insane, and it was overwhelming, and it was amazing. And I learned a lot just about being on a set and, honestly, pushing my body, you know, to a very extremely physical limit. But I would have it no other way looking back.
Yeah, because I think I remember you saying that you had to get in shape, right, for the role?
I did, yeah. So I actually ended up getting health problems because of it. I would pick on weight every season, and then I would lose the weight in the off season to do other roles. And since I wasn't one of the leads starting out, I wasn't contracted by the show, so I could go and do other parts. So I screen tested for other shows, and I ended up in between season 2 and 3. I ended up working on an HBO pilot with the infamous David Fincher directing it. And so,
wow.
Yeah, so I had to lose the weight. And I put on the weight again, and I ended up screwing up my body. I had to go see doctors, and they were like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm putting on 10 to 15 pounds, and then I'm losing it every 6 months. And they were like, don't do that. And then in season 4, I became, you know, I had to grow out a beard and really go undercover, you know, as part of the tactical squad. And I packed on 18 pounds. So I kind of took what the doctor told me, completely ignored it, and had some
I'm just curious, how does one go about, you know, enacting, like, about gaining pounds? Or how did you go about it and then maybe losing pounds? I'd like to hear
right,
about the struggles or maybe the challenges that they face.
It was brutal. I'm naturally a really thin guy. Actually, now I'm not. My body kind of learned to hold on to some of the weight as I got older, which was unfortunate. But especially in season 4, when they told me, you're going undercover, you need to grow a big beard, you're going to look like a SEAL, I was like, okay, I need to get bigger. So they gave me a 3-month warning. And my girlfriend and I started dating, and her complex has a really, really state-of-the-art gym. And so I would work out 2 hours every morning, 6 days a week. And on the 7th day, I usually just jog to let my muscles rest. I probably had 5 meals a day. I was loading up on protein. I was drinking a boatload of water. I was loading up on chicken. I mean, anytime I could eat, I was eating. And as long as it supplied me with enough protein, I was starting to build the mass. I didn't want to be cut. I just wanted to have mass. And after 3 months of working out, you know, roughly, you know, 13 hours a week and eating just for protein and mass, I got there. And it was the biggest I had ever been. I mean, I was pretty large. And then I had to maintain it. And thank God that period of my life is over, because it just was a lot of work. It was a lot of work.
Now, how did you lose it afterwards? Just doing a lot of cardio or dieting?
You know, the funny thing was, is I used to be a thin guy. So I just thought, well, the second I stop lifting all the heavy weight, it's just going to lose itself automatically. And that did not happen. Kevin turned 28 when we were wrapping up season 4, and I was not losing the weight. So then I started running, and I was losing the weight, but not at the, you know, not at the rate that I desired. So I had to get a nutritionist. So one of my co-stars in the show, the very handsome and amazing Travis Van Winkle, is a very, you know, a very structured eater. And he knew one of his buddies was a nutritionist. And I hired him for 2.5 months. I had a nutritionist to shed the weight. So I've lost about 15 pounds. I've still got a lingering 3 pounds there, but I'm getting older. You know, I'm almost 30. You know, this is not going to be as thin. Because I was, you know, it's funny. My co-star Jocko Sims and I were watching some episodes we shared in season 1, and we are just so much thinner. And, you know, it was easier to be thinner in your mid-20s. So I'm pretty thin now. I definitely do not look nearly as big as I did during season 4 and even for parts of season 5. But I haven't shot the show in, you know, 7 months, so I've had some time.
Okay, yeah, you did have some time, yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging. I've done it before too. I had to lose weight and
right,
go
you know.
Extreme with dieting and low carbs and running right. 5 miles a day. So yeah, I understand how hard it is to, like, when you gain the weight and then you have to like lose it, and you know, you don't see anything
right.
for like a month and a half, and then you get frustrated, but then after that it's just not training. So yeah,
right.
I understand completely how you feel.
Right. Yeah, you know, yeah, you're jacked, man. You totally understand how the game goes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, well, that's interesting. Let's see, you've been on the last ship, and then is there anything else you're going to work on, or is that pretty much it for now, just the last ship?
You know, after the last ship was finished filming season 5, I needed a break. I needed a break, and
oh, yeah.
5 years in a row, because here's what happened. They picked up seasons 4 and 5 back-to-back. So although season 5 hasn't come out yet, we shot for a year straight. We shot those 20 episodes straight. And it might not sound like a lot, but each episode takes a couple weeks because there's so much training, so many stunts, so much CGI, so many explosions that it really takes a lot out of you. And we love it. We love doing it. We give every ounce of our emotion and our focus and our physical energy, it's all exerted into that show. But afterwards, I needed a break. And so I'm auditioning again. You know, the show was big and it did a lot for our careers, but, you know, make no mistake, we still are actors and we have to have that passion because I still have to audition. I'm still auditioning all the time. I came very, very close to booking a big pilot. And some of the producers behind that pilot are people who are very famous in the TV world, came very close only to find out that they offered it to a celebrity. And it was tough for me to take. You know, you think you've been on a show for 5 years, you know, things are going to get a little bit easier. You still got to fight. You still got to sing for your super. And that's what I love about it. I love the grind. So when I'm not acting, you know, I teach classes when I can. I do monologues like my girlfriend and I. We just started doing this every Wednesday night. We sit down and we do monologues for each other. And we just break each other down, give each other notes, do it again, break each other down, give each other notes. And then the next week, we prepare a new monologue. And it just helps me stay fresh. And it helps me stay hungry for the craft. And I move on to something else. So I'm getting close, but getting close is part of the game. You know, after you get enough no's, you'll get a yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of famous actors, or not famous now, they had to go through a lot of rejections, and, you know, the same thing you're going through where, you know, they might have booked a big TV show and then later on they still have to fight for another TV show because, you know, there's so many actors as well, you know.
Right.
I think there's like over 300,000 actors in LA. So, I mean, it's definitely a very competitive world.
Yeah, that's
so
a daunting number.
Yeah, it is, you know. And not only that, I myself, I've been to an audition where I walked in, I saw like 15 guys that looked like me. I'm like, whoa, like, it was kind of disturbing, actually. So I was like,
right, it's brutal.
I have like 15 looking like.
Yep. And you know that all of those lookalikes want the job as bad as you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but, you know, like you said, you just got to keep grinding, you got to keep trying, and eventually, you know, you'll get through the wall.
Yeah, if you have perseverance, you know, my mentality has been if you outwork everyone else and you hold on long enough, you're going to find what you want that, you know, defines your passion. And it can be a waiting game. You know, I'm going to turn 30 and I'm lucky enough to have, you know, done well financially because of my past work, and I've invested in art and real estate and the stock market. So my money can compound and work for me as I'm waiting for the next job. But a lot of people, you know, it's kind of that mental 30 year mark where people really need to decide, you know, is this what I want to do? Do I got to sacrifice that standard American dream of the white picket fence and the house and the wife and the kids? You know, it can screw with your mentality. You just got to decide what holds more weight.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you're right. When they get up to that 30s mark, yeah, it can be kind of daunting
on
mental health, you know, because
yeah. –
Like you said, they want the American dream, they want the wife, they want the kids, they want the house, they want the money, but, you know, like you said, what's more important, you know, acting
right.
or an American dream? So, yeah, I totally agree
right.
with that. It's very daunting on someone. Right. All right. Well, some interesting stories you told me, Kevin. I'd like to go into the segment of the show where we talk about the do's and don'ts.
Okay.
No, you can give one of each, working on TV or as an actor, whatever you want to discuss. But maybe one thing you can talk about is we can start off with a do, you know.
Do. Okay. It sounds crazy, but always be acting. And, you know, it's something that I learned firsthand now. When the show was done, I took a break. I was investing a lot. I was focusing on that, taking meetings. You know, anything investment-wise, I was hungry for. I needed a break from acting. What I wish I didn't avoid was acting. I should have kept my craft polished. Like Don Cheadle said, you know, a bunch of wannabe actors come up to him. They go, how do I do what you do? And he goes, are you acting? No one's given me the opportunity to. Well, no, you can go to Samuel French, pick up a play, read the play, do the monologue, find friends, do scenes with friends. I mean, there were times in the past 5 years, actually, I've done 4 groups, and I'll get 7 actors, and we'll meet twice a week, and we'll just do scenes. We'll do, you know, monologues with each other. You need to stay fresh. I can't stress it enough. If you're an actor, you're already insane. But you're insane because you love what you do and what you want to do every day. So you got to be doing it every day. And if you can't do it every day because you got a 9-to-5 right now, or you've got to wait tables, or you've got a valet, which you and I know very well, then you got to understand that in the off time, you've got to be reading plays. You have to. If not plays, watching movies, although, you know, I don't know if watching movies helps people as much as actually doing. But you've got to be working on something. I don't care if you're writing. I don't care if you're directing, producing. Do something. Because content now is key. And due to technological advances, making your own footage and making your own content has never been easier.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. That's some good, solid advice. All right. And then maybe we could start with we could do a don't. What would you not do or don't do on set?
Ooh, on set in particular. Don't exert your energy when you're in your trailer. You know, and I'm totally spacing on his name. Hannibal Lecter. Who played Hannibal Lecter? I'm totally spacing.
I'm trying to think now. Spacing it too.
Anthony Hopkins. He said.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins.
He said, I get paid to wait. I act for free. When you're lucky enough to be an actor, you're going to get to set. They're going to move your call time. They're going to say you're about to go to set. They're going to push the time. I mean, there have been times I've been called to set and I've had to sit in my trailer for 6 hours. Don't get frustrated. Don't get stressed out. Don't exert extra energy. Save it. I don't care if you need to meditate, you know, bring books. You know, by season 4, I was pretty routine. I brought my laptop and I would have the stock market streaming on my laptop so I could see. And I brought DVDs and I just watched movies in my trailer and I would meditate or I'd take a nap. I'd be eating healthy and I wouldn't be going around, you know, screwing around all the time, especially if I had a big scene coming up. Also, don't be afraid to ask questions. Do not be afraid to ask questions, especially to the director. If there's a piece of the content you don't understand, you know, ask him. If there's a mark you don't understand, you know, talk to the DP, talk to the camera guy, or talk to the director. You know, you need to notice there's a fine line between asking too many questions, but usually the creative team is solicitous. They are open to your questions because you've got to get it right for everyone to go to lunch, for everyone to go home.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it makes it more efficient too, you know, instead of wasting everyone's time.
Right.
So let's talk about crafty. I guess the last thing you thought was crafty.
Ooh, crafty. Michael Bay does it right. I'll tell you that. Tiger Tunes and Michael Bay, they do it right. crafty, you know, the first 2 seasons, I just ate a boatload of crap. Because they're just sitting there for you to devour. Oh, I probably lost weight a lot easier now because I haven't been on set in half a year, so I'm not around crafty, but it's amazing. I mean, we had filet mignon, lobster, chicken, you name it. The Michael Bay crafty, because the Crafty team was from the Transformers franchise. So these guys did not screw around. They gave us just the top tier, the delight. And that Crafty's amazing, and it's the worst enemy at the same time. God, it's so bad for you. But
yeah, you gotta be choosy of what you pick in the Crafty table, because there's some things you don't want to eat that or there's too many choices, actually, really.
There are. I mean, it's a temptation. And if you have too much sugar, which I did in seasons 1 and 2, it zaps your energy. It just destroys you, man. And I was the baby on the set. I was the youngest lead on the set. And everybody else was looking at me like, what is this Sasquatch doing? But I just loved my gummy bears. I could not help it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know how you feel about that. There's too many goodies on
there. Yeah, right?
All right, man. So this is the end of the show. I'd like to have the guest maybe leave like a lasting thought before we close the show. So any lasting thought for the viewers?
Sure. I'm going through it right now. You know, I thought I was high and mighty. I thought Hollywood validated me. And I'm going out and I'm trying to find my next big job, something that's really going to define me, you know, to the fans who follow me, you know, to the audiences who watch whatever I do. And it's tough. You get beat down, you got to get up again. And there's a quote I always remind myself of, and I can't remember who said it, but, you know, that's not the focal point of this. It's keep true to the dreams of thy youth. When you were a kid, when you were in grammar school, high school, and you're doing plays and you always dreamed of coming to L.A. or going to New York and acting, when things get shitty, and they will for everybody because everyone's got problems, no matter where you are, at in your career, remember what brought you out here. And if you can hold on to that dream, that's everlasting. That'll see you through until the end of days.
Well, that's some great advice. All right, perfect. All right, well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
I want to thank all the listeners listening. Thank you for continuing to listen. And that's pretty much it.